Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we just want to tell you, Lord, how much we appreciate your presence. We appreciate, Lord, how you move in your midst of your people, how you work through the gifts that you've placed in their lives. We just appreciate it, Lord, and we come to this time now in the service, Lord, that we want to look to you, look to your word, and we ask God, Lord, that you would just open the bread of life to us tonight. Lord, we know that it only lies within you to do so, and so we surrender ourselves to you tonight. We present ourselves before you and ask God that you would use us, speak to us, through us. Lord, touch lives, both present and those that will hear from a distance. We ask God that you just glorify yourself, help your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Midweek service. Good to have the extra music and the drums tonight. That's always so helpful. And I know that Elijah probably appreciated it. Drums help you keep time a lot better. I know it's very helpful to me, so we just appreciate that. I know that with jobs and things going on, that can't always happen, but we certainly do appreciate it when it is, and when it does. So, amen. Then we're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to John, St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. We read a little bit of this story last week. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Very familiar portion of scripture. We probably can quote it almost by heart. Jesus saying, And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And then one more passage of scriptures, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You can be seated. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. I'm going to title this tonight, Real Pentecost. Amen. Real Pentecost. You know, how many would like a greater portion of God in your life?
Amen.
Even to the point of Pentecost.
Yes.
Amen. And so, if you really desire that, of course, we just read where if you ask, you seek, you find, and so forth. But if you really want that, you know, if we look in the scriptures, there were some prerequisites. If we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our homes, if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our church, there are some prerequisites.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't have her put it up there, but Psalms 133, how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And it's like the anointing oil that was poured down upon Aaron and ran down through his beard and into the garment. And he goes on to say, as the dew of Hermon, the dew, and that there is where the Lord commanded his blessing.
Yeah.
We've mentioned that before. And so, you know, because the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so that scripture is telling us that when brethren dwell together in unity, then the Lord can do that. He works in that.
Right.
And of course, if you're not in unity, then it makes it hard for the Holy Spirit to work.
That's right.
Right? And so that's a prerequisite. If you know, we want the Lord to move in our lives and do things like that, but I find that much of the time we're not doing our part.
Yeah.
We're not doing, and so just a prerequisite of having the Holy Spirit work in your life or in your home, you know, is to dwell together in unity. There's never been a day like this day of the gospel, but there's never been a day like now of drama. Mm-hmm. And people just bickering and arguing about nothing.
Right.
Right? And so you have to understand the Holy Spirit cannot work with he won't do that. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a dove.
Right.
He's very timid. And so if we want him to work in our lives, then we've got to make sure that we're not doing things that would make it hard for him to come and work in our midst. And so another thing is that the scriptures let us know on the day of Pentecost that they were in one mind and one accord.
Right.
And that doesn't mean a car, accord, but in one mind or in one accord. Again, there's unity.
Right.
See? And so the Holy Spirit can work in those sorts of things. And so we should examine our lives and examine everything that's around us and say, Lord, you know, help me move things out of the way that would hinder you from working.
Right.
Because, and of course, if we really want that, I was telling someone today, you know, just witnessing to someone, and, you know, the scripture said, the day that you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find me.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus just said that if you knock, it's going to be open to you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people say, well, I'm knocking and it ain't happening. Yeah. Well, there's something wrong with your knock then.
Yeah.
If you ask, you'll receive. Well, there's something wrong with your asking.
Yeah.
See, because he's not wrong.
Right.
His word is right.
Right.
He doesn't short circuit his own word, but we can short circuit things by you know, things that we need to look at into our lives. And so, Just prerequisites there. If we want the Lord to work in our lives, we have to remember those things. Brother Branham tells us that he said, let me just tell you a little bit of a story. Those of you who listen to the message, you've heard him say that a Lutheran preacher wrote him one time, and he wrote the Lutheran back, and he said, I'm surprised that you'd, you know, based on experience over the Word of God. So he's telling about that, and he actually met with this Lutheran, a dean of a Lutheran college, a little bit later, and the Lutheran said, I've heard about Pentecostals, and I went to visit them, and he said, all I found was people that was kicking over chairs and busting out windows, and he said, what have they got? And Brother Graham said, the Holy Ghost. And this Lutheran dean of this college said, the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
And Brother Graham said, yep. The Holy Ghost. That's what they have. And so he goes on and talks about it. And in there he says, you know, this Luther just having a hard time understanding how can that be the Holy Ghost. And eventually he said, well, what do the Lutherans have? And Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so in there Brother Branham said, if we can get the fundamental teaching into the Pentecostal church or in the Pentecostal movement, or get the Pentecostal movement into fundamental teaching, then you can have something.
Right?
And so he's saying there that you know, fundamental teaching, I think maybe like, maybe even in some places, maybe he talked about if you could get the Baptist You know, and the Pentecostals together.
Right.
Well, then you'd have something, because the Baptists have more of a foundation in the Scriptures,
yeah.
and the Pentecostals don't. But the Baptists don't have the anointing to make something happen like the Pentecostals do.
Yeah.
And so Brother Red said, if you could just get the two together, well, then you'd have something happen.
Oh, yeah.
Be something that would really work. And so, and we understand that. And so, Brother Bam said, the Pentecostals, he said, well, they just have so much steam built up, but they got to do something with it.
Uh-huh.
They can't hold it all. They get so full of the joy of God, and they just got to let it out. He said, they just let it all out the whistle, like a train, out the whistle, instead of applying it to the wheel so they can make it move.
Right?
So Brother Rev's saying these things for a reason. He tells us Luther, because Luther just doesn't understand, and he's just trying to show him that, yes, that's the Holy Ghost. They're just not applying it right. They don't have a foundation of the Word so that this move of God in them can be properly exercised so it can edify the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And Brother Remember actually said that, you know, when this Lutheran said, I went over there and he, you know, that's all I seen. They was kicking over chairs and all that. And Brother Remember said, yeah, the devil had it such so that when that man went there, that's what he saw.
Yeah.
And so he went away and had an opinion about Pentecost that it was wrong and it was a bunch of nonsense. And so we understand that God has a perfect way, and we have to abide by that. And if it's the way God makes it, it'll do what God wants it to do.
Right.
And so what Brother Rand was saying there, if you could get the fundamentals together with the Pentecostals, what he's saying is if you could get them to where they're worshiping God in spirit, Holy Ghost, and in truth, the Word.
Right.
If you can get those two together, then something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Brother Man was saying that in his day, and I know, you know, he was preaching and addressing things for that day, but to me, that there's a concept there of having the Holy Spirit quicken the Word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we know that. You could probably, everybody's heard this probably 1,000 times. It takes the Holy Ghost to quicken the Word.
Right.
And so, Brother Graham was saying that in context of his day, but to me the concept there is fully revealed today, can be fully revealed, and is going to be fully revealed, and it probably is right now in some cases and places or whatever, that concept is fully revealed in the bride message, because there has been a tremendous amount of the Word revealed.
Right.
Right? And so if the Pentecosts have all the shout and all these, but they don't have Word to hold them back, but what if you do have the Word to guide?
Right.
Right? And so now we have the Word brought to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so now we've got the Word that can guarantee that it'll move right, but you've got to have the anointing to do it.
Right.
You've got to have the Holy Ghost to quicken. You can have all the head knowledge. I was telling a guy today. He said, I want to know more. I want to understand more about the Bible, and I want to learn more. And he said, I used to read the Bible just like just so I could say I read it from beginning to end in 1 year. You know, they have a program for that. You know, you can read the Bible in 1 year. He said, now I'm trying to. He said, if I don't understand a word, I'll look it up. You know, and I told him, I said, you need to consecrate your life to the Lord.
Yeah.
If you want to understand and you want to know more about this Bible, you've got to get in the presence of God and let the Holy Ghost move upon you.
Yeah. Right.
And so I got through talking to him, and I told him, I said, man, I wish it was church time. I'm ready for church, you know. Because when you start sharing truth, the Holy Ghost is in that. He comes and he likes that. And so we appreciate how the Lord's always present to help you when you're witnessing to someone. And so we now have a foundation that the Word can guide us, but we've got to have the dynamics in order for it to make the Word, quicken the Word. And so, to me now, as we read the sons of God, now the sons of God can really be manifested. I know it's happened with prophets and different ones through the ages, and even Brother Branham this day, but we're talking about the entire body of Christ coming to the full measure of Christ. And the way that happens is for the Holy Spirit to quicken the Word. And that's why Brother Brown talked to us about this. He talked about dynamics and mechanics.
Right.
That you can have the Word, you can have the mechanics of, He used the example of a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. You can have a Cadillac with perfect wheels, a good engine, oil in the engine, and everything. But if you don't have, and you can even have gasoline, but if you don't have the spark, that beautiful Cadillac will sit right there and not go anywhere.
That's
right. And so he's telling us, we have to have the dynamics to make this word live. Mm-hmm. Now, Pentecostals have all this dynamic, but they don't have word.
Right.
And then others have word, and even in the message, have tremendous understanding of things that God has brought to us, but no quickening power. And so there has to be, the two have to be come together. You know, as we've said, I've said it, you know, I look at it as you know, he is the Word, and he dwells in his own body. The Holy Spirit dwells in his Word. That's how he works through his Word, but it has to be the Holy Spirit that makes that move and work. And so the Word has told us who we are. The Word has come to show us that we are sons and daughters of God, to make it very clear that we have no reason to doubt now how that God has shown we are his children. But no matter, just like Brother Bram said, those people do not, the Pentecost, he said, they do not realize the position they hold. Right? They can have the anointing, but they don't understand what that anointing is for. And so they don't realize the position they hold. But what if they did realize the position they hold and not have the anointing?
Right.
Yeah. Right? But what if you have both? Uh-huh. Right? And so we have this understanding. God has made it very clear. But there's the one thing that I see that people aren't doing is they're not seeking the Holy Spirit to quicken the Word. We believe we are the Word made flesh in this day because of what God has done.
Right.
But I don't see people seeking after the Lord like they need to.
Yeah.
And so we know, Brother Branham, was from what I understand, there is a quickening coming.
Right.
There is a quickening power that is coming to this message. It's going to happen at some point.
Right.
It's going to happen for somebody. And so, you know, at some point, maybe, you know, the onset starting now. I don't know. But we know it's coming, and we should be looking for it.
Right.
Right? Brother Graham said that the rapture to the bride is a revelation.
That's right.
Right? And he said she will be what? Looking for that revelation.
Right?
Where are you going to find that? You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in the spirit of the world. And the things the world feeds on. You're not. So, people, I see that they need to step it up in what they are seeking after, looking for, whatever. And so, Brother Bram tells us that you are ordained to do what you're going to do.
Right.
You are ordained to do it. And so, that sermon where he was telling that is called The Path of Life, if anybody wants to look that up. And so, I'm not saying that people need to go back to Pentecost. And let me clarify what I'm saying there. Not back to Pentecost what they've made it.
Right?
Right? But back to the real Pentecost.
Right.
Where the power of God quickens his word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his word's being made manifest. And his plan is being made manifest. And it edifies and it does things. And it does like what you see in the scriptures there. And so, we know in on the day of Pentecost, those people heard them speaking in their own languages, even though they were Galileans and didn't know those things.
Yeah.
And so it's far, far much different than what you see Pentecost today, mm-hmm. right? And I was raised in Pentecost, and I seen all the, tongues, and I saw all the prophecies that didn't come to pass. And I want to take sides with Brother Branham on what he said about that. You know, that when you speak in tongues or when you prophesy and you interpret that it must be something clear, cut, straight from God. That not just, the Lord's coming and so forth.
Yeah.
But it must be, he gave the example, Brother so-and-so, don't go to your sand pit because the truck's going to turn over. Thus saith the Lord. You don't hear that kind of thing. But our God is able.
Yeah.
I was telling that guy today that I said, God's still able.
Sure.
We can still see visions. We can still speak in tongues, prophesy, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead. That he's still the same. He never took that out of the church. He never took that away.
Right.
And I said, yeah, we see it here and there once in a while, but I feel like it should be more.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to go back to what they made it to be, Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Branham goes on in that sermon. He says, after he tells this Lutheran about all these things, you know, he said, I just don't understand. Luther said, I don't know what to say now. And Brother Ben said, well, you know, you have to present it right. He said, I believe that Pentecost has what the world needs, but it's got to be presented right.
Right.
And he gave the example. He said, if you walk up to a man that's got a hammer and says, man, you don't even know how to use that. Here, I got something I can show you. See, you're not going to make a sale.
Right.
But if you'll walk up there and you'll talk to the guy, hey, how's it doing, you know, and that's, man, you sure know how to use that hammer and so forth, and present it the right way. Here, hey, I got something I want you to try, and take it for a couple of days and try it out.
Yep.
And said, you'll make a sale. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Daniel knows how this is. You have to approach people the right way.
Right.
And so he's telling this like that. And so he's saying Pentecost is right. They just weren't presenting it the right way. They've made it out to be what you know it is, what people say, a bunch of fanaticism, but laying there is a truth.
Right.
There is a Holy Spirit. He does move, he does, but it needs to be channeled right. Mm-hmm. Needs to be channeled and quickened in the right way.
Yeah.
And so real manifestation of God is where God is supernaturally working in the midst of his people, in their lives, working through them. I was telling the fellow today, I said, that's what he does. That's what, when the Holy Ghost came upon the early church, how did you know it? Because they started doing things like Jesus did. And there was, the presence of God was there doing things that man can't do.
Yeah.
It's still the same today. There should always be something going on. And I don't say it has to be every day, but I'm saying something always moving and working in the lives of people where there's a supernatural presence there that does things and reaches out, because our job is here is to reach out and you know, find the last seed or whatever,
right.
Reach lost souls, and even if they're not ordained, not an elect person to hear the gospel, there's other channels,
right.
that in every way that God saves people in the different avenues that we know he does, in every way it's their attitude of how they interact with the word, the living word of their day. Amen. And so we have a job to do, and that is to get out there and to express the living word, but we can't do that properly unless there's an anointing to do it.
That's right.
And so you understand. And so I feel like that to me, the real true Pentecost that we're looking at today is gifts of the Spirit can work through the people that know how to use them. Know how, as the scripture said, know their God and do exploits.
Yeah.
Right? A people that they don't make a fanaticism out of it, but it's properly expressed with anointing of God, and it will get people's attentions.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you're never looking for it, you're never going to find it.
That's right.
If people aren't spending some time seeking the Lord, you hear people say, seeking the Lord. You know, what you're talking about there is getting to that place where he can work and he can live through you and work through you, and you feel like you got a fresh commission for the day. You seek the Lord. And so if people aren't ever looking for that, you're never going to find it.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, the scripture told us that they had to tarry in the upper room. They had to tarry and wait on them. Well, God could just give them the Holy Ghost while they're walking down the street talking to somebody. He wants to.
Right.
But you see, in the scriptures, they had to tarry and wait. And they had to wait until they were endued with power from on high.
Yeah.
Right? And so, what would make us think that we could just walk along and just whatever and never spend time with the Lord and have the Holy Ghost come upon us?
Yeah.
Right.
It's just not so. So as I said, he's not the short circuit. It's the people that's short circuiting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've got to look for something if you want to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know people can stumble onto things, but you understand what I'm saying. And so it takes the Holy Ghost to get things done. It takes oil to get things done. I was talking to another fella today, you know, with these thoughts on my mind, and I said, you know, if you look at oil in the natural, we talked about this before many times, but oil lubricates, it makes things run a lot smoother, mm-hmm. right? You take oil out of your engine, what happens to your engine just pretty quick? You know, and your engine's going to burn up. But, I mean, the forces and things are there in an engine, but oil can just makes it work. And so oil lubricates, but, you know, oil also burns like a fire. You can burn it. You have a fire with oil. Yeah. You know, you can use oil to preserve things, right? We used to put oil, motor oil, on the back of our pigs to get rid of lice.
Yeah.
So you can use oil to preserve things. Oil stops the rust. Mm-hmm. Remember Jesus said, "Where rust and moth," you know? So you can use oil to stop rust. You can use oil to stop pestilence. You can take it as, you know, in medicine. It can be used for your skin. There's all kinds of, you understand, oil is, it's so widespread. And most of what we have wouldn't be here if we didn't have oil. Mm-hmm. Plastics and all that stuff, they use it, all that petroleum, for those things. And so it types the Holy Spirit. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. It is such a powerful thing in the natural that for many, many years, the major world currency that the world trades in is the petrodollar.
Yeah.
Because
right.
It's backed by oil. Mm-hmm. Why oil? Mm-hmm. Because oil is so versatile, so powerful, and to me, I'm looking at the natural typing spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. That look what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. He can make everything run smoother.
Right.
If you got a pestilence trying to get in your experience, he can get rid of that.
That's right.
If your experience getting all corroded up, the Holy Ghost can take care of that. Right. You see? And so they have this petrodollar because it's so powerful. Wars are fought over oil.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, you may have heard this, but you know they've always said, "Well, that's fossil fuels." So all those years of dinosaurs and all that stuff—that's what. They don't really want it to come out real, but it's coming out. And people, the Earth creates it.
Right.
It's not all those fossils like that. What they're saying, the Earth generates it continually. It is perpetual. See, the Holy Spirit is perpetual. It's eternal. And look at all you can use it for. Our whole world is what it is because they've learned to use something in the natural that's a type of the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Ghost, look what it does for your whole life.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's a very powerful thing. And so I said wars are fought over that. Well, guess what? The greatest battle ever fought. You know, you understand, right? Right here?
Yeah.
The battle with Satan in our minds. But what is he fighting for? To keep you from having the Holy Spirit in your life working.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? He's fighting you over oil.
Sure.
Just like natural wars do. And so you see how important it is. Like I said, the earth creates it and it's perpetual. And so it doesn't run out. It'll just continue and to continue and continue. And so, fight, you know, greatest battle ever fought. That's why that our fight each day is getting more and more powerful and harder and harder. We just, because of the hour that we live in. And so we need that anointing. We need that oil in our life. No matter how much we know the message quotes, we need to be walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit to quicken that word. And until we start paying attention to our walk to get that, till we start looking for that, seeking the face of the Lord, you won't see that.
Right?
Right? And so, you know that the comforts of this age is one of the biggest hindrances.
Yeah.
Easy living, I think, is the way we've always heard it said and said in the past.
Yeah.
Easy living, because, you know, we like it when it's easy.
Yeah.
But easy living wars against what I'm talking about.
Right.
Right, it does. It wars against that And so if the early church had to seek after the Lord and way after the Lord and get away and shut themselves in and get away from the things of the world so that the Holy Spirit could come, you know, as Brother Branham would say, well, you know, he would imitate the disciples, and they're like, hey, I think we've got it now. Maybe we should go. We go on, go. You know, no. He said, wait. And here's what I'm trying to get at. When the Holy Ghost fell, there wasn't no question about it. There wasn't any question about it. They didn't have to manufacture something like Brother Ram talked about. Well, hey, I think we got it. Let's just go ahead. No. If it's a move of God, it's real.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be manufactured. It doesn't have to be pumped up or whatever. But what it does is when you finally get into that place where the Holy Spirit, where God is pleased, then He can move upon you and bring these things that He's promised to you, and there won't be any question about it. And it will send you out of those doors to go out into the streets and touch lives of people around you, which is what we're here to do. Right. We're not just here to hear the word so we can take a body change. We are here to take as many with us as we can.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what it is. And so much of the time, we as a people are selfish because we just, you know, we come to church and I just want a blessing. I just want a blessing. What about coming here and being a blessing?
Right.
And I mean, it's a blessing just to see you to come in the church door. But it's even better when you come in and you're prayed up.
Right.
It's even better when you come in and you're full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, it's like God said to Abraham, go walk through this land. You know, when they come in, give me my land. Go take it. These promises are there. And so if you want joy in your life, go after it.
That's right.
If you want victory and you want to see God moving, you've got to go after that.
Right.
And seek after those things. Pursue after Him. Like He, as we've said, He shows Himself through the lattice. He doesn't let you see Himself fully yet.
Yeah.
He just kind of lets you see glimpses of Him. He wants you to seek after the Lord.
Right.
He wants you to follow after Him. I think I've said this before, but you know, if a lady is interested in the man that's going to be her husband, she's probably seeking after him. She's probably interested all the time. Her mind's on him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way Christians should be.
Right.
Not legalism, but a real presence of God working your life. You are thinking about him all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. You might be at work, you might have to stop and think about something like that, but in just a few moments when your mind, you go right to thinking about God,
yeah,
about his presence in your life and pleasing him and those things, right? That's the way it works.
Right.
And so, we know that's how it is. And so, we need to be in such a place with God that at any moment God can reach down and touch us and manifest himself through us in any way he wants to. Raising the dead, casting out devils, tongues, prophecy, interpretation, visions, whatever he wants to do, because God is a supernatural God, and that's the way he works.
Right.
Amen. Amen. People need to look for that. They need to be seeking for that.
Right.
What happened to that? I remember back in Pentecost, right here in this building right here, I remember sitting over here at a bench, you know, and the Holy Spirit moving upon me and knowing things about a total stranger that walked in the door. And how that I'd stand up and try to say something that, you know, that would, and how the enemy would try to stop it. But that when you go ahead and be able to say what it was, and it would, that person would instantly come and crash at the altar and repent. And, you know, back then, as a young Christian, I mean, we sought after that kind of movement of God. Right? That was Pentecost. And of course, there wasn't a whole lot of knowledge there about it, about how, but I'm just saying, we saw those things because we looked for it. We wanted it.
Right.
And what about now? What if we would come to church and we don't want to just hear a good sermon.
Right.
We don't want to hear just a revelation. But we're coming here because we want God to come and anoint us. We want him to put his power within us and use us in whatever way. Maybe a stranger. Right? Maybe a stranger come in and God say something to you that'll be the very thing that person needs.
Yeah.
We saw that in Pentecost. I experienced it. I seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I went to church the first time, after being a grown man, and I just said, the Lord was dealing with me, and one day I said, that's it, I'm done, I'll be in church Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I went into church, and Brother Perriman's wife, in the middle of service, she got up, walked over, come behind me, and spoke in tongues, and interpreted, and told me something I hadn't even told my wife. And I thought, and I knew, because I was raised that way, but that was the first time really seeing it work. And I went back the next week, it happened again, same thing. And so, you know, that had an impact, obviously, on my life, and it would others. And so these gifts of the Spirit, those things, not just restoration and gifts like Pentecost had, okay? But these things are there for a reason. And so God should be able to come down and put his hand up on our life any time, whether in church, out of church, no matter where we are, and move through us that we can touch the lives of others. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to seek after God and say, God, you promised it.
Yeah.
Right. What happened to people who's seeking after God to fulfill, like Brother Ram said, getting to the place where people are no longer agonizing with God to fulfill his words?
Yeah,
and so that's the thing. We need to be agonizing with God to fulfill his word.
Right.
And so, well, if we're comfortable to a certain level and easy living, we're probably not going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
So I've often thought to myself, what is God going to have to let happen to our easy lifestyle here in America?
Yeah.
What's he going to have to happen to get us to the place where we will seek him?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? People, you see it all the time. They won't give God or any of his believers the time of day until tragedy strikes.
Right.
And as soon as tragedy strikes, here they come, you know. And so you know how that works. We've seen it.
Yeah.
And so we want to be in a place where God can reach down and speak at any time, because he is a supernatural God, and that's the way he has always worked. And amen. That won't happen if we don't present ourselves to him.
Right.
Amen. We read in the scriptures there, now when we're talking about this, I believe we're talking about full manifestation of the sons of God right before rapture. I think there's only one more thing, and that's this quickening power. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then it's to the Jews after that. And so we read in the scripture, it said that when he shall appear, we're going to recognize him. But he gave a reason of how. Why? We're going to recognize him because we're going to be like him.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people can look at an image, oh, there's Jesus, because it looked like Jesus. But that's not what we're talking about. This is a recognizing him because we have become like him. And that's the one thing. People look for Jesus who walked up and down the shores of Galilee, but they don't look for the living word.
Right.
But once you come into contact with him and this word is quickened in your life, now you know what to look for, and now you see him.
Yeah.
Right? And to those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm quoting scripture.
Right.
To those that are what? That are looking for him. Those that are seeking him. Those who are wanting to have his presence. Like Brother Bram said in rapture text, it's one thing that I'll seek after. One thing I desire, and that's what I'm going to seek after, that I can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Right? What are you seeking after?
Mm-hmm.
If you seek, you're going to find it.
Right.
If you're going to seek it, worldly stuff, you're going to find it. But if you seek after God, he has promised to give that. If you will knock, he's promised to open. Yes. Said he's not going to give something to you if you ask for an egg or for a fish or for bread. He's going to give to you the Holy Ghost if you really ask him, if you really want it.
Yeah.
Make that number one in your life. And so, when he shall appear, he, the Word, appears, we'll know him because we are the Word. Words, seeing word, recognizing word, meeting with word.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, the scripture says that every man that hath this hope, what hope?
Mm-hmm.
We know that that we are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. We know it because he said we are, but it doesn't yet appear. John's saying that. It doesn't yet appear. We know we are, and we know that by the time he comes to us, we're going to recognize him because we will have changed, and we will be like him.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to know him at his coming, because he's quickened us up to meet him.
Right.
And so, every man that has this hope, what hope? To know that we are sons and daughters of God and he is going to change us.
Yeah.
Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself.
That's right.
Think about that. Oh, you know, just God does all the cleaning. I understand that. But if you have this hope, knowing that you are a son of God and you know that he's coming for you and you're going to be like him, then you have to purify yourself as he is pure.
Yeah.
Right.
Why? Because if you're going to be married to him, or you're going to become him, then you have to be pure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your experience has to be purified because he's pure. And you can't mold right in and become the manifestation of him without purity in your life.
Right.
So you have to seek after it. You have to look for the purification. And of course, we know tribulation, fire purifies jewels and all that sort of thing. And so it's kind of what I was speaking on Sunday, you know, the trial of our faith. It's working something, preparing us.
Yeah.
And so people need to seek after the thing that God has promised to us. Not just word, but the quickening of the word.
Right.
As he has promised to go further back than just the upper room. We say, oh, we're going to go back to their, well, the early church didn't have a body change. But we're going to a body change. So we're actually going back further than that.
Yeah.
But it's the same quickening power that they had that come out of that upper room. It's the same quickening power that God has promised to you and I to make the word manifest in our day, in our lives.
Right.
Amen. So we're going further back than that. You know, years ago, when I give my heart to the Lord, I had been going to Brother Perryman's church for about 3 months, and about 3 months after that, he had a little bitty place downtown, and about 3 months after I started going to church, he got this place. And so I came in, and I knew that it was had a full-size downstairs, and so to me, this was upper room. And so I had a dot matrix printer, and I printed out a big long banner that said the upper room number 2. And I put it back there on that back there. And some of you may remember when we came and took this church, it was still there.
Right.
The sisters, I think, took it down, and it's probably still around here somewhere. 33 years ago that I printed that out because I wanted this to be an upper room.
Right.
Just, you understand, I wanted this to be a place where God would come down and fill the hearts and lives of people. 20
yeah.
some odd years later, Brother Perryman still had it there because he wanted the same thing.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I still want this to be an upper room experience for people.
Right,
right here, just naturally it is. But may it be that again.
Yeah.
Be a place where God will come and move. And so, further back, like I said, because we now have word that was hidden to them back then that's now revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So God has more that he can quicken.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He quickens his word. And so by this word, by the word and by the anointing, by spirit and by truth, we can now move into the last phase of the bride movement.
Yeah.
We can now move into that final cycle. And that is a full manifestation of the power of God back in his church again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't it an interesting thing that, you know, I hate politics, but isn't it an interesting thing that you have a certain political party, the same one that wants to take God out of everything, is the same one that says we're not going to drill for oil anymore,
mm-hmm.
and they have given away all of our reserves of oil.
Right.
That same ungodly group
yeah.
doesn't want the oil of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So we're not going to dig for it. We're not going to work for it. We're not going to try and build up reserves, and we're going to give it all away. And you see the typology. And then, of course, the other side is not much more godly, but at least they do try to keep God in some things.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that says, no, we need to drill.
Yeah.
We need... And so there's just a natural type there showing you in these things are going on. And so what should we do? We should be digging.
Man.
We should be trying to find those and build up those reserves. Get that full of the Holy Ghost so that when you go out, you've got something you can share.
Yeah.
Amen. And so I ask you, what made the difference for the foolish or the wise virgins?
Mm-hmm.
What made the difference for them? Oil. Right? That's what made the difference for them. It'll make the difference for us too.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. And so we need to seek after the dynamics, as Brother Brandon said. Of course, there is a desperation that must come.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. And so, you know what? Our young people, well, not just young people, they need to see and they need to experience the power of God
mm-hmm.
in their lives. They need to see it and they need to experience it.
Right.
Not just good sermons,
right.
Not just more word, mm-hmm. but they need to see the Holy Ghost moving in their lives.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to seek after that. We have to want that. And again, I'm not trying to tell you, I'm not saying I want to make this church a modern-day Pentecostal church. But brother, sister, we need the word to be quickened.
Right.
And that will come when we desire for it
mm-hmm.
and we seek after God for it. Amen. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
And so may the Lord bless you as we just bow our hearts to him for a moment. Lord, as we have come to the end of this service, just sharing with everyone, Lord, just what's been on my heart, Lord, to understand that we just need more of you. I pray, God, that you would just speak to every heart and each one would begin to seek after you, begin to spend time with you. And as I said several weeks ago, two or three times, that threshold, may they realize that there is a place, Lord, where they need to go beyond a threshold into your presence, where things that they've desired become a manifestation. Lord, it's laying there in your word, it's promised. We know we can't manufacture anything, but Lord, if we present ourselves to you, we believe that you'll move. And so we're asking, God, that you would do that with each heart. May you put a hunger or a desperation, if that's what it takes, in every heart, that we as a body of believers can see you move and move us up into a place, Lord, where you can live, work, and manifest in us at a higher level. We appreciate everything you've done thus far, and we don't want to discount that, Lord. But we do desire to see you move in your supernatural ways, not just in your ministry here, but in all your people. Lord, we love you, and we just ask that you would just move in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. You got a song you want to sing?